Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Francis Ball has joined us again to be a part of this program. Brother Francis, I'm really happy to have you here. This is a word that I hope the Lord gives us the way to get clearly to our listeners.
I do hope so also, because I remember this message when Brother Lee gave it, and there's some depths here that I believe have been uncovered that have been always there but not seen so much by God's people. I hope today that this will be an eye-opener to many of us.
Well, the message that we're talking about is going to bring us into an appreciation of the altar and its relationship to the Ark of the Testimony that we covered a few weeks ago. Just to refresh our listeners and to bring everyone up to date, I wonder if you'd give us a brief description of this first item of furniture, the Ark of the Testimony, just what was meaningful about it, both in the tabernacle and as it relates to our own experience of Christ today.
Well, the Ark of the Testimony, which was in the deepest part of the tabernacle, as I believe most Christians realize, that tabernacle that is opened up and revealed and spoken of in the book of Exodus is a real picture of not only what the children of Israel were going through practically and experientially, but also a picture of what we go through experientially today. And the ark that is in the deepest part really represents Christ himself. But that ark had certain measurements that we'll see today in the message that are very, very significant. And it was the place where God could meet with man. This was the spot in the whole universe where God and man could meet together. And we'll see also how it's possible for a holy God to meet with fallen man and why this is the place that transpires. That ark was really a box. The measurements of this ark is 1.5 cubits high, 1.5 cubits width, and 2.5 cubits long. That little box became the center of the journeyings, the warring, and the fellowship of the children of Israel throughout their wilderness trip. So it's very significant to Israel at that time, and it's very significant to us in its application and in what it typifies today, that God can meet with man and man can meet with God.
Francis, we're going to look at the measurements or dimensions of the altar today and compare them to those of the ark. The ark, as we have seen previously, was 1.5 cubits high, whereas the altar was 3 cubits high, twice as high. But it's interesting, exactly halfway up the altar was a grating, a grate. And this was the very spot where the sacrifices were placed within the altar and where they were consumed. I think that before we finish today, we're going to see that this is going to turn out to be very significant. Let's join Witness Lee with our life study.
We have a clear record here. The location of the grating. It says the grating is at the half of the height of the altar. And the altar is 3 cubits. So half is 1.5 cubits. This is exactly the height of the ark. The ark is 1.5 cubits high. All the dimensions of the ark are halves. It is 2.5 cubits by 1.5. Then the height is also 1.5. These are the halves of the dimensions of the altar. The altar is 5 by 5 by 3. The ark is 2.5 by 1.5 and by 1.5. This is quite meaningful. And how to count it? You have to count it in this way. 1.5 underneath the grating. 1.5 above. This height signifies the standard. up to which the redemption of Christ was accomplished. Christ died on the cross to accomplish the all-inclusive redemption for us, according to what standard? It must be according to the standard of the ark. Why? Because the ark is the very place where God would meet with man. Man got fallen. Man got distracted from God. Man deviated from God's way. Now, God wants to meet with such a fallen man. Something must be done according to the standard of God. With the ark, you could see God's glory. The cherubim are there. Then, with the ark, you can see God's holiness. With the ark, you can see God's righteousness, because the righteous law is within. So, you have these three things there. God's glory, God's holiness, God's righteousness. Okay, you fallen sinners, do you like to see God? Do you like to meet with God? You have to fulfill the requirements of His standard. You must fulfill God's righteousness. You must fulfill God's holiness. And you must fulfill God's glory. You know, Romans 3 says, man got fallen short of the glory of God. That means God's glory is here, kind of a yardstick measuring you. But you are short of this. You are underneath the height of God's glory. So you are not qualified to come to meet God. Okay, Christ died an all-inclusive death for the accomplishment of our redemption. And this death was then according to the head of God's requirement. Amen. According to the head of God's standard. And God's standard is just His glory, His holiness, and His righteousness.
Francis, any consideration of the altar as a type of the cross will lead one to realize that there the problem of sins was dealt with. Most of the time, believers are satisfied just to have this serious problem taken care of. But there's a marvelous verse in Romans 3 that Witness Lee referred to here near the end of his speaking. Verse 23, I think well-known verse, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Francis, this verse has always impressed me that sin is not the only problem that we have with God, is it?
Absolutely not. Sin is the negative aspect of our problem with God, but falling short of God's glory is even more significant, because this shows that no matter how well-behaved and intelligent and even ethical a person may be, that doesn't mean that he measures up to God's standard of His glory. God's glory is where man falls short. And it's interesting, that verse you mentioned, that all have sinned, that's one part, and fall short. I think for years I never discerned that that's not just a repetition, something standing in apposition to each other. But to sin is one thing, negatively toward God, to actually go against God. But to fall short doesn't mean you're necessarily against Him, but that you are short. You do not measure up. And that is one of the very significant things about the altar that we're getting into now, because the altar is where the sacrifices are made. But when you measure man up against God's standard, then you find in everything he is short, because all of the things that are related to God's standard are depicted here in type, both on the ark and in the altar.
Well, Francis, in our introduction today, you gave us some of the dimensions that were a part of the construction of the Ark of Testimony that's in the Holy of Holies. In this coming section, we're going to look a little bit at these dimensions and the dimensions of the altar, because there's a correlation here that we don't want our listeners to miss. Please stay tuned for this. Here's Witness Lee.
The greeting is at the level of the ark, at the level of the propitiation cover. It is on this level that God can meet with you. God was in the Holy of Holies. God was upon the ark there. God traveled from the ark to where? To the altar. I mean, to the cross. God didn't go further. God only went that far. God left the ark, the Holy of Holies, and God came out of heaven, and God took his journey, and God traveled. What was the destination of God's travel? The altar. God stopped there. God said, sinners, come back to me. And we all like to go back. But God said, something must be accomplished to fulfill my requirement. Your coming back to me and my meeting with you must be up to the standard of my requirement. So, you could see the greeting is at the level of the propitiatory. If you look through from the altar to the ark, you could see these two are on the same level. It's quite interesting. It is on this standard. It is up to this standard that Christ died. He died such an all-inclusive debt for the redemption of God. It is up to the standard. Could you see this?
Well, Francis, this may have been a short segment, but it is giant in its spiritual meaning and symbolism. At one end of the tabernacle was God's very presence, where no man on his own could enter in. And at the other end of the tabernacle, the end where man could dwell in the outer court, was this altar with the marvelous bronze grating at exactly the same height as the ark. Francis, what does it mean that God traveled from the ark to the altar in order to reach man?
You know, Chris, I really hope that this truth that's pointed out here by this illustration and by this typology could really give us an insight. The reason I say that is because being a Christian for years before I met this ministry, I never dreamed that some of these things were so relevant to our Christian experience as has been brought out by this ministry. And in this particular case, to see that the ark really is a type of Christ. Now, I don't mean that others have not seen this. I think this is pretty common knowledge among many of the people who have studied the tabernacle at all, realize that the ark itself is a type of Christ. And being in the holiest of holies is a type of where he is at the beginning, you might say, where he came from. He was in the heavenlies, or in the Holy of Holies, and he came all the way from there to the earth. And in this case, he came all the way from the Holy of Holies to the cross, or to the altar on the outside of the tabernacle. Just at the entrance of the grounds of the tabernacle is an altar, a bronze altar. The Lord Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth, came all the way from the glory to the cross. He came all the way from the highest place to the lowest place. He left everything to come to be where we are. He was rich, but he came poor, that we, being poor, might become rich. I believe this kind of picture here will really open our eyes to a lot of the marvelous pictures that are in the Old Testament, to realize what we experience has a good picture book for us in the Old Testament. Sometimes I realize that when I get into the revelation concerning these types in the Old Testament, it's just like someone opening up a cedar chest full of treasures that were yours and you didn't know it. And he pulls them out and describes each one of them to you. And it's been that way in my experience. that experiences I've had, I never knew what they were. I never knew how to describe them. But in this ministry of Brother Lee, I have seen the bringing out of item after item and describing what we enjoy of Christ in that kind of item, and to see that he came all the way from the holiest of holies to the earth, to the cross, to be the sacrifice for our sins, to bear all our guilt and our shame. My, this is marvelous. That's quite a traveling, isn't it, Chris, to come all the way from the Holy of Holies to the cross?
It is a marvelous journey that he made on our behalf. Ron Kangas and I were enjoying the same point a few days ago in a broadcast that we were recording. At that time, the point was the same, but it was from the aspect that as the revelation of the tabernacle was given to Moses, this matches the order of the revelation. It began with the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Testimony, and it ends up at the outer court with the altar. Of course, if we were describing it, we would start at the other end. We'd start out there in the outer court and then eventually build up to the Holy of Holies, the centerpiece. But this is God's perspective that we're seeing the tabernacle from. And of course, Witness Lee didn't lose that point and brought it to our attention as well. And it very much matches what you're describing to us. And it also matches the Gospel of John so perfectly, marvelously, that in the beginning was God, and God became flesh and dwelt among us, and eventually, behold, the Lamb of God.
Amen. It's a marvelous sequence, but our natural thought goes the other direction.
Exactly.
But the revelation always comes from God's point of view.
Well, we're going to stay right on the same line in this final portion today as it gets, I think, even richer and just more tremendous. Here's Witness Lee once again.
We have been forgiven. We have been accepted because Christ's redemption is up to the level of God's requirement, up to the standard of God's glory, holiness, and righteousness. This is the first half. The second half, you have a flavor, sweet odor, ascending to satisfy God. This is what? This is the efficacy, effectiveness of Christ's redemption. The efficacy is up to the same standard as his redemption. His redemption is up to the standard of God's requirement. And the efficacy of his redemption is up to the same standard. How could God be satisfied with Christ's redemption? Because Christ's redemption fulfills all the requirements. Then the result of this redemption produces a kind of efficacy, a kind of effectiveness. And this efficacy is up to the same level to satisfy God. Dear saints, whenever you enjoy Christ, you enjoy Christ's redemption. Deep within you, you have the realization that Christ's redemption is fully up to the standard of God's requirement.
Amen.
Not only so, and you realize the result of Christ's redemption. The efficacy of Christ's redemption is just so high to satisfy God according to God's requirement. I tell you, over 55 years ago, when I got saved, I didn't hear all these kind of things. Actually, my words, my sentences, actually came from those experiences. But at that time, I didn't realize, but now I can recall. At that time, to me, I just have the full peace, realizing that Christ died on the cross, fulfilling every bit of God's requirement.
Amen.
Regardless God's glory, regardless God's holiness, or God's righteousness, whatsoever, God's requirements all have been fulfilled.
Amen.
So, nothing can condemn me anymore.
Amen.
Nothing can blame me.
Amen.
Because I have the full assurance, oh,
amen,
Christ, he died,
amen,
to fulfill,
amen,
all God's requirements. What else God wants? Amen. When I got saved, I had such assurance, such peace. I said, God, what else can you demand on me? And all the young believers should do this. Christ has met all your requirements. What else you can demand on me? God would say, I have no more demand. Just one death has fulfilled all my requirements. This is up to the level of the propitiatory cover. Amen. So God can come to converse with us.
Amen.
We can fellowship with Him.
Amen.
We're not sure of something. Underneath, we have the ashes.
Amen.
With the level.
Amen.
Up to propitiation cover.
Amen.
Now above, we have the sweet odor.
Amen.
Also up to that level. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Well, Francis, I have to join you. A moment ago, you made a comment. I'm going to just repeat it. This is such a rich and encouraging word today. I wish that every believer could hear this, especially all the young ones. We began today by looking at Romans 3:23, that all had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This really exposes the extent of our problem with God. How does this picture in Exodus that we're looking at in the tabernacle show us that the redeeming Christ has met the entire spectrum of God's demands on us?
Well, I just am really excited about this because there's so much assurance that comes with this understanding. In the ark, we have God's standard, and His standard is really measured in three ways: His glory, His righteousness, and His holiness. On the covering of the ark, there are the cherubim, the angelic creatures that are there, made of the gold of the propitiation cover itself. And they express the glory of God. Glory is one of the aspects of God's standard. And then you have in the ark the Ten Commandments, the law that was given to Moses. That was put in the ark, and that is a picture of God's righteousness. It expresses that God is righteous and demands of man a righteousness that he doesn't have. And then the gold that covers the whole ark is a picture of God's holiness. We all know that gold depicts God's nature. So you have these three things: the glory, the righteousness, and the holiness. These are God's standard that man must meet in order to be right with God and in order to meet with God, and man cannot do it. But praise the Lord, when you get to the altar, you see that the sacrifices for sin, the things that will make the death of Christ vicarious to us, of importance to us, very satisfying to God, is the offering up of Christ as all the sacrifices meeting all of God's requirements against man. Those sacrifices are all put on the altar. The ashes are under the grate that was there. And then I'd like to mention, too, again, what Brother Lee brought out, that that grate in the altar is 1.5 cubits high. Though the altar itself is 3 cubits high, at the midpoint, 1.5 cubits is that grate on which the sacrifices were placed. And that grate is a picture of the cross. And Christ is the one who was offered on the cross. And the fact that the aroma of His sacrifice reached to God, that's the top part of that altar. That's getting the aroma coming from the burning of the sacrifices. And the bottom part are the ashes, which is our assurance that God has accepted Christ as our substitute, as our sin offering, as our trespass offering. Everything that we need has been satisfied as far as God's standard is concerned, by the death of Christ. As Brother Lee said, you can ask, what more do you demand, God? And he says, I have no more demand. Christ satisfies every demand of my holiness, my righteousness, and my glory. So we can be assured, and I hope, as you said, every young person could say to God, God, what more do you want? What more do you demand? And he would say, I don't demand anything more. Everything has been met. The debt has been paid, and the glory has been manifested, and the holiness has been expressed, and the righteousness has been maintained.
Francis, a good note to end on. Why don't we close there? Francis, thank you. Join us again very soon. I really enjoy these times together.
Thank you very much. I hope to.
For Francis Ball Today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.